Welcome back to Conservative Talk with Tim Ardue, and happy Juneteenth. Today is Saturday, June 19th. I've got a few stories in the mix to talk about today. First, Democrats are whining because Catholic bishops won't offer communion to pro-abortion politicians. Wah, cry me a river. Second, Portland police abolish themselves. We'll talk about that. And then finally, VP Harris, Vice President Harris, has been taken off of Border Patrol. Well, we'll talk about those things after the break. Welcome back. So, Democratic politicians are whining because Catholic bishops are talking about, some have already done it, others are talking about it, not allowing pro-abortion politicians to participate in communion. Now, it seems like here lately we've seen a large amount of Democrat politicians who are really trying to, they're trying to grow the base, I guess, and they're trying to appeal to Catholic voters. And so they're claiming to be Catholic. In fact, on the radio program that I was interviewed on the other day, it was brought up about Tammy Duckworth being a Christian, whether she was a Christian or not. And you may recall I addressed that and said that while that's kind of a, you know, it's hard to say if someone is or isn't a Christian, the fact is there's some things that we just know Christians would support, and abortion is definitely not one of those things. In fact, I would say it is a sign that you are not a Christian if you support abortion. Now, I understand for someone who maybe doesn't understand what abortion is, or doesn't feel like that an unborn child is actually a human being, then perhaps I could understand that. An unborn child is a human being, however. And if I had any question about that, I would definitely research it before just deciding for myself that I just decided that this isn't a human being. Because that's exactly the sort of thinking that made slavery palpable for people, especially racially driven slavery. If we think of these people as not human or less than, then it's okay to own them. It's okay to have control over them. And in fact, there are many similarities between slavery and abortion. Unfortunately, abortion is a little more permanent toward the victim, whereas with slavery, there were survivors of slavery. And so So abortion is definitely a greater massacre as far as taking human lives than slavery was. And yet the same arguments are being made. This is my property. I can do what I want with it. That was the slavery argument. Abortion argument. This is my body. I can do what I want with it. Not recognizing the rights of that individual person. And yet, just like with slavery, where they wanted, the Southern Democrats wanted slaves to be counted toward how many legislators they would have, how many representatives in the House of Representatives that they would have. They wanted slaves counted as population, but not given the right to vote. In the same way, people who are wanting to have abortions want tax money to pay for those abortions. They want the government to foot the bill for it, but not actually allow this child to live. So they want some government benefit for something that is disastrous and terrible for a human being to go through. And so it's the same thing. We want the government to give us voting rights so we can keep slavery legal, but we don't want to actually allow these slaves to vote. So it's the same argument. It's just a different class of human being, if you will. There are no different classes of human being, actually, but it's just a different... It's not race, is what I'm getting at. Abortion goes beyond race because it doesn't really matter. Now, there are some arguments made that abortion does target black families more than it does white families, and the statistics support that. But I'm not even saying that. I'm not even getting into that. I'm just saying that abortion, period, it doesn't matter what race the baby is. Abortion is wrong. It's murder. It's illegal. It should be illegal. Murder is illegal. So just as we it's funny, we fight for laws to protect our right to own guns when the Second Amendment does that for us. It's funny that we also now want to fight for laws to protect against abortion when laws against murder already do that. It's just funny how that is. Like, we have laws to protect these things, we just don't abide by them when it comes to those particular things. So all that, then, we're talking about the Catholic bishops now aren't offering communion to politicians, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. It just so happens that more Democrats support abortion than Republicans, but they're not even specifying a party. They're not saying if you're a Democrat, you can't take communion. They're saying if you support abortion, you can't take communion. And Democrats are telling them, saying that they are weaponizing it politically. Well, no, abortion should not be a political issue. Democrats are the ones who argue that this is a human rights issue, right? Okay, well, if it's a human rights issue and it's not a political issue, then I believe that Catholic bishops definitely are within their right to say that someone who supports the murder of unborn children should not be able to partake in communion. I'm not even Catholic, and I am very confident that in my church, someone who supported abortion, we may allow them to partake in communion, but we're definitely going to counsel them on that, because that's not the right type of thinking for a Christian, especially. And apparently you would hope, if they're actually saved, that they just don't understand what it is that we're talking about. And I can understand that, because especially if you've had an abortion, you may feel that if you agree with pro-life arguments that this is a human being and that this is a life with rights, then you have to come to terms with the fact that you voluntarily agreed to take the life of that human being. And that's something that nobody wants to acknowledge, nobody wants to admit to. So I understand that it would be a very hard situation to be in, but the fact is it is. So I'm behind these bishops, not only because I am pro-life and I'm against abortion, but also because I believe that that religion should not have politics pushing anything in it. So Democrats should stay out of what their Catholic bishops do or don't do. They shouldn't be urging them to do anything. That's they have the religious freedom to refuse communion for something that is a religious belief. And so just as they wouldn't offer communion to someone who who's a Buddhist, who wouldn't convert to Christianity, they would deny them communion. So it's the same thing. They're the ones that are politicizing it. They're the ones that are weaponizing it by banding together as Democrats, quote unquote. They're putting the name Democrat on their fight about this instead of just individually as parishioners talking to their bishops about it. So they're the ones that are weaponizing it. They're the ones that are politicizing it. So yeah, I'm in favor of the bishops for sure. So that's all for that one. When we come back, we'll talk about Portland police. Got some movement going on there. Something interesting happening, and just see what we think about this. So we'll be back after the break. Welcome back. So Portland police, about 50 police officers actually, who are part of the rapid response team, have stepped down from that position, from that designation. Now, they haven't quit their jobs, thankfully for the people of Portland. They haven't quit being police officers, but they have decided that their union actually is behind them on this, has decided that it's getting pretty intense with people's reactions to police officers there. And they're getting they're hesitant on being proactive in their policing. And so this is causing some issues there. Corey Budworth, if you aren't aware, Corey Budworth was a Portland police officer who has been charged with fourth degree battery. And apparently there's a viral video. I actually haven't seen the video. Course, people are going to say, well, if you see the video, then you'll agree with this. Well, regardless, this story is what it is, that these police feel that the indictment of their fellow police officer was politically driven, that it was all just anti-police Antifa sort of move. And so they've decided to respond in kind by choosing not to take part in the rapid response team. So what does this actually mean? Well, in the long run, possibly nothing, but they're not on their own. They're not alone. Other police officers in other places like New York and Chicago feel the same way and probably will follow suit. I hope they do. I really do. That would be my take on this is I absolutely hope that they follow suit. I honestly, and I understand, I don't live in these cities. I am thankful to live in a rural area where we know each other, where people, neighbors take care of one another. So I realize that I have kind of a unique view on it that possibly other people don't that live in these cities. But honestly, I would not be against at all the entire police force just quitting. If they all just decided that they'd had enough and they just walked off the job and see what people would do then, when there's no one to answer that 911 call, what will they do then? Let's get the jump on it. They want to abolish police. Let's do it for them. And I, the union should do that. They should say, you know what? We're just gonna strike. We're just gonna shut down and see how y'all deal with it on your own. Personally, I don't need the police to protect me. I can protect my own family, and I know a lot of other people who feel the same way, that the police aren't necessary for us. They're necessary for the people who can't defend themselves. And there are a lot of people out there who can't defend themselves. And unfortunately, they're the ones that are going to pay the price for this, which is sad. But at the same time, we got to send this message out. We got to let people know that that we're not okay with targeting police officers for these frivolous and politically driven lawsuits and charges, criminal charges. For doing their job, for doing what they're supposed to do. I saw also that they're going to change a lot of the ways that they, which they already have. Chicago put out a very long and detailed foot pursuit policy, which is you're really gonna you're gonna teach these cops this when they're first coming in, and they're gonna have to learn all of this. And oh my gosh, I hope I don't break the rule on this, because in like one of the proposed changes, I don't know if it's in Chicago, but I know that it is proposed at least in Portland, is that if they don't change their no, actually I think it is the other way around. I think it is in Chicago. I think it was part of the foot pursuit policy. But if for instance a police officer is driving by and sees someone urinating in public, that they can't stop them. All they can do basically it, because it's kind of vague on what they can do, but it seems like what they're allowed to do is just yell out the window and tell the person to stop doing it. And then if they don't stop doing it, well, then you can do something about it. Well, I mean, where is the line? You know, did he stop? Did he not stop? How do we know that he stopped or didn't stop? When I'm just driving by and I'm hollering at him, you know, there's no way to really hold anything accountable on that. So basically, it's just going to lead to police just erring on the side of caution and not doing anything about it. And that's what I'm saying. I think that should happen, and I think that we should let these people who are anti-police. See what happens to their communities when the police are no longer stopping these sorts of things and no longer interfering with these sorts of things. Let them see where it leads, because we've seen where it leads. The police know where it leads. That's why we have the police. You know, it's not like someone just decided one day, hey, we ought to just have a group of people who just go out and just randomly enforce arbitrary rules on people. Well, are these people not following those rules? Well, I don't know. We'll just have this group of people in that way. If they aren't following these rules, then they'll get in trouble. That's not how, no, that's not what happened. It was that people decided, hey, here are some rules that we ought to live by. And then someone didn't follow the rule. And then they said, well, what do we do when someone doesn't follow the rule now? We need to do something about this. And that's how, security, that's how police were formed. Was to protect society, and that's their job. It's not to protect an individual, it's to protect society from the individuals, in fact, because that's who's harming society, is that the individuals that are committing these crimes. So yeah, I hope they all quit. I mean, I really do. As far as, you know, just striking, just giving even a month. Give it a month. I guarantee you, you give it a month with no police, people will change their tune. Of course, they'll politicize it in a way to say that that somehow these they're bad for not doing their jobs, you know, and that's typical Republican or conservative views, and it's not, of course, but that's how they'll push it. But either way, they'll learn that they actually need the police. So, yeah, I'm standing with the police there. Good for them. Good for those 50 police officers. I hope it leads to more doing the same thing, teaching a lesson. And that's what they're there for. That we should respect them for it. So yeah, when we come back from the break, talk about somebody else's patrol and stepping down, and how that's possibly not a good thing for us. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it is. Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back after the break. Welcome back. So, Vice President Kamala Harris is back in the U.S., not the USSR, back in the USA. Was she taking off Border Patrol? I thought she was supposed to be taking care of taking the lead on the border, but apparently she's not doing that anymore. I don't know. Well, after facing criticism from both sides of the aisle, VP Harris is back in the States working on, quote, vaccine equality and voting rights. And actually, someone close to President Biden, the unnamed, of course, said, quote, "It seems like these issues are more in her wheelhouse and definitely less controversial than immigration." Well, yeah. They are, because no one's against people being able to be vaccinated. No one's trying to deny vaccines to black people. I don't see why that's even a thing. Vaccine equality, what that even means, and voting rights. Yeah, we've got several amendments to our Constitution to allow people to have voting rights. So that's also not real controversial. I don't think anyone wants to deny voting rights to any U.S. citizen. It's funny though that would be the area that has to do with immigration. The problem is not with voting rights; it's with the citizenship of the people who are voting, and we don't want people to vote who aren't citizens. Yeah, definitely less controversial. But is she, I guess, I got a feeling that somewhere in the near future, we're probably going to hear about someone else being appointed to the border, someone going to the border, because it's just, even reporters can even only do so much. They're trying to support her, they're trying to get behind her, but even they can only do so much before you finally go, all right, look. Reporters are hitting her hard with it. You haven't been to the border. Oh, I haven't been to Europe either. Yeah, well, you weren't assigned to Europe, or we would be saying, how come you haven't been to Europe? When you're assigned to the border, then we have to ask, why haven't you been to the border? Well, you went to Guatemala. Okay, so what did you do there? What did we accomplish there? Oh, we're pushing for more legislation to give money to foreigners. Great. That sounds like a plan. That's definitely going to work. So you're just, it's more Democrat stuff, more liberal stuff, raise taxes, take a piece of it for themselves and then pass it on to a foreign country. That sounds like a good idea to me. No, it doesn't. Not actually. It does not sound like a good idea to me at all. So it's probably a good idea taking her off of Border Patrol because she's definitely not up for the task. But at the same time, it would be nice if they just owned that and just said, you know what, she wasn't up to the task, so we got to have somebody else do it. But they're gonna play it off. They're gonna say, no, she's still in charge, but she's got a team, and that team is going to be going to the border. I imagine that's what we're gonna hear from the Democrats in the near future, is that she is still in charge, but she's got a team, and so she's going to take the lead on vaccine equality and voting rights. Good job, because those things are, important. We don't have vaccine equality. How do we not have vaccine equality, and voting rights for citizens? Yeah, citizens can't vote. Anyway, yeah. So those are the topics for today. Probably not gonna have a conservative talk tomorrow. Got a busy day. I probably won't be able to fit it in. If I do, it'll just be a quick thing. May do that, may not. We'll see. But I will definitely be back Monday regardless, and we'll have some more news to talk about then. In the meantime, if you have anything to talk about, you have anything to add to what I've talked about, or agree, disagree, whatever it might be, check me out on Facebook. The podcast, I do have a Facebook page, Conservative Talk with Tim Arview, podcast Facebook page. I also have my campaign Facebook page. I'm running for United States Senate, and that is
Arview for United States Senate. That's the Facebook page. And then, of course, you can just find me on Facebook and message me directly. My name is Tim Arview. I'm also on Twitter. And you can also email rvforsenate@gmail.com. So lots of ways to get a hold of me. Oh, and my campaign website, rvforillinois.com. So see, there's lots and lots of ways to get a hold of me. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm sure you can find me on the internet somehow. And I would love to hear your opinions. I would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want to support the show, the podcast, I'd greatly appreciate that. Somewhere, depending on what service you are using to listen to this podcast, somewhere on your screen will be something to support the podcast or to partner with us. I would appreciate that. You can become a monthly subscriber and give us a monthly amount donation that will help keep the podcast on the air. Helps us keep busy at these sorts of things. So if you can do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And either way, whether we are back tomorrow or on Monday, it was great talking to you today, and we will see you next time.